Greetings, beautiful ones. I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. You see, a lot of us are running around here living in our shells. Some of us are putting muscles on our shells. Some of us are putting makeup on our shells. On this platform, leave that shell at the door. Just be free, be comfortable to be who you are in your own skin. Let's be slugs for a little while. Everyone is welcome to this show. There is no judgment on this platform. We keep it clean and we keep it cool. All right. See you later. I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. We have no room for egos. We don't need any of that going on here. Just be free to be who you are. Let your hair down. Fly with me. All right, let's get into it. I would like to introduce my next guest. Peace. This individual is amazing. Amazing, gifted, talented, anointed. Oh, I could go on and on about this amazing man. Let me bring him to the stage, Mr. as we all call him, Hood Mister.
Peace. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you for being on my podcast. I appreciate you.
It's an honor to be here, man. This is going to be in the history books. Watch.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. So let's get into it. Hood, where are you from?
I was born in Boston, but I was raised in Akron, Ohio, and Northeast Ohio. So I'm mainly, that's my stomping ground. So I was raised in the Northeast Ohio area, like Akron, Ohio, where LeBron is from.
Okay.
Cleveland, okay. Canton, that whole area.
Okay, yeah, and I'm from Cincinnati, the always 10.
Uh-oh, it's a connection. It's a connection.
Right. Okay, so, energy. Okay. So, where did you stay at the longest? Where would you say, what city did you stay in the longest?
The city that I stayed in the longest, Akron, Ohio. I stayed in Akron from about 5 to about 14, but okay. I moved around a lot as a child too, but okay. I really feel like Akron really has my heart more than any other city that I've ever lived in.
So what is Akron known for? You already said it.
Akron is known for, of course, LeBron James. But it's Goodyear, the factory. It's nothing really significant about Akron that meets the surface, but generally it's just one of those places where like you have a lot of faded experiences. Like for me, it's like a good luck. That's the only way that I could explain it. It's like a fairy tale or a wonderland. So that's why I say, like, I have the most fondest memories of Akron because of the positive experiences. And mainly, I'm gonna tell you, the most impressive thing about Akron, Ohio is the people.
Okay.
Very, very loving type people, very familial and inviting. But that was back in the days. But you know how things have changed with, you know, the internet. But yes, definitely growing up, it was a wonderful place.
Okay. All right. Okay. So where would you recommend that I go out to eat if I was going to Akron?
Where would I recommend you to see? Oh, that's a good question. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the Waterloo Restaurant. Yes, that's where I would send you. It's like some of the best tasting food, like even to this day, that I've ever tasted. It's like fine dining, but hearty home cooking. It is like the best of both worlds. And it's not that, I mean, generally speaking, because it is fine dining, but I'm telling you, they infuse like some country old school cooking in it, and it's probably one of the best places I ever did eat. But and I would definitely, like, if you go to Akron and you want to eat something, pull up to the Waterloo.
Okay, you sound like you're salivating over there, Hood.
Oh man, you bringing up them good old memories, sis. You doing it. You doing
good,
it.
Good. Okay, so where would you recommend that I visit? Like, is there, do they have any type of sites or buildings or anything that I should visit?
If you were to go to Akron, you know me, I'm a nature guy. Okay. So everywhere I go, I try to find the most coolest nature parks. So Akron, most definitely Sand Run Park. It's about maybe 5 miles of forest. You can drive through it. You can hike through it. It's some impressive waterfalls. You know, you know, it's not like the bee's knees of all nature parks, but definitely a vibration, definitely a place to go to kind of just tap in. And you know, like for me, I feel like if I go to a new city, I need to find a park and have like a connection with the nature. But if I'm going to Akron, I'm definitely going to Sand Run.
Okay. All right. Now, what about like if I want to go out and hang out and kick it? Would you have any recommendations?
Well, they remodeled downtown. So it's like, you know, they got a little league baseball team. They got some real cool like arcade pool halls, restaurants downtown Akron. I mean, if you done been places, you'd be like, okay, this little town. But they be trying, you feel me? Because ever since LeBron, like from 2003 on, Akron has been very progressive because, you know, people want to, like, it's a landmark because LeBron made it that. So the money does, you can see it clearly in the downtown landscape. And it's a lot of fun, good places to eat, good places to like go out and club if you into that, or if you just want to like play video games, eat pizza. Downtown Akron is where it's at.
Okay, awesome. All right, so tell me, Hood Mystic, what was it like growing up in Akron? We'll stick with it.
What was it like growing up in Akron? Well, I mean, for me, I was just such a unique child that it was what I needed it to be. For me, I was like very, like since I was eight, like I just feel like I was always conscious or something like that. Something in me that was like very adventurous at a young age. So it was a bus system, real easy to make friends because you just go outside and just meet your homeboys and stuff like that. So we would hop on the bus, go to the mall, walk around the mall. It was arcades. We would go to the arcade. But mind you, we were 8 and 9 years old. I have an 8 years old child right now. There is no way in a million years that I'm letting my 8 year old get on the bus and go nowhere, right?
Right.
But back in those days, we were like little kings, you know? We were just everywhere, you know? It's a, like, most cities is an east side, west side, north side, that type of deal. And just always going over people's houses. You got your cousins, you got your aunts, you got your uncles, then your mama got friends. And so it was just very familial, very community. It's probably like 100,000 people in the city. So basically everybody know each other, or you know of a person that know of that person. So can't too much go down without it trickling back. So it was just very comforting growing up. And just like, I know everybody. So like, you just knew LeBron and you knew Maverick and you knew Drew. And you just knew all of these people because you went to the same church with them, or you went to the same school. And so it was just like, it was just one thing. And it's kind of interesting how it all turned out, because as you know, those same group of people, like them children, same my age, that energy, it, you know, they got one of the most impressive squads, like LeBron and all of his friends. They're all from, well, let's say 80% of them are from Akron, all grew up together, all went to the same community centers, and just had a lot of ambition growing up to be more than the city, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does, yes. Okay, awesome. Okay, now, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A teacher.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. You wanted to be a teacher. You're not too far. I mean, you know, are a teacher.
No, I wanted to teach in school, but you know, maybe I will one day. My life is still, the book is still being written, but I have children, so I homeschool my children, and that's a job. My wife does a majority of it. I'm not even going to take credit for it, but my little 10% of assistance. But generally, we just try to live. My motto for my family is to be an educated family, like to constantly learn and grow and develop and learn new things. And as a child, that's who I was, so I'm not too far from how I was when I was a child.
Okay. All right, now tell us a little bit about who you are today.
Who I am today. Wow, that's a, well, like I said, I'm a father for a majority of my day, a husband for another majority of my day, and then the rest of my day, I try to follow my spirit every single day, and it's always led me to some interesting things. You know, who I am today, you know, I have an office, and I spend a lot of time in my office, and I come up with things, all types of different things. I put things out, like I'm an author. I do readings. I'm an astrologer. I educate. I teach. Do things digital. I also am working with a youth nonprofit and teaching them about chakras every week. That's the thing that I'm most proud of at this very moment of what I'm actually doing. It's not even about money. It's the fact of having a connection with youth and possibly them avoiding some of the many, many pitfalls that I was subject to when I was in my early 20s. So teaching, my main goal is to teach people about themselves and then teach them how powerful they are as individuals, as souls. And generally what that consists of trying to explain away people's excuses for not being their best selves. So I'm extremely motivated every single day, self-motivated, self-taught. I'll express myself freely and openly, and I'm just trying to not be a conformed human being. I don't want to be like this great man or this great, and like want to be in no box, right? I just want to be a soul in this world, doing the best that I can with what I've been given and constantly developing and learning. And for me now, when I say a father first, is because my time is limited on this earth with my children. Now I have to instill in them the continuation of what I've been given. So that is another task. That is my main task, to live through my children. Like, that's what I'm here, like, as I grow and develop in this moment. For young boys, I feel like the Creator is specifically telling me to pour into these children so they can become great men.
Okay. Oh, wow, that's deep. I'm not surprised though. Okay, so what made you decide to become an astrologer?
Oh, well, I've been studying astrology since I was about 16 because my mother was into astrology and she kind of passed that down. You know, she was really into horoscopes and knew mm-hmm. about her sign and stuff and would buy little horoscope books that I would be really interested in. And mm-hmm. it just was something that really intrigued me. But the real to real is like I had this driving job in about 2014. Right. And it was in Ohio and like Columbus. This is when I was living in Columbus, Ohio. And so I never even heard of an Indian mound before. Never knew they existed until I got this job in 2014. Come to find out, it's about 10,000 recorded mounds in Ohio alone. Right. Mm. So but this job, whether fate had it or it was designed this way, every stop, because I would go to many different cities in Ohio that I would never go to in a million years, but each, well, about a large percentage of the cities had American mounds. And I would go to these mounds and I was just so interested in the shape and just how they looked. And I would just be so absorbed with it. Long story short, they were sending me important downloads and keys in reference to astrology. The more that you could go to Newark Earth Mounds and they have like the little historical placards along the mounds, and they say these mounds specifically align to solstices, full moons, astrological occurrences. So mm-hmm. in ancient times, they utilized the mounds to, you know, it would be like, say, for instance, like a hole in the ground and the moon would shine perfectly through the hole when it was a winter solstice. And that's how the people know it was a winter solstice, just things like that. Mm-hmm. So it was just like spiritually they were ushering me, or I would say initiating me into the science of astrology, mm-hmm. very ancient astrology. And like from a space that I didn't even know was even available. And I felt very like I'm probably the only person that ever, like that job don't even exist no more. I'm probably the only person that, like, if I look to, don't even, the place don't even, the business ain't even open. Mm-hmm. But I'm probably the only person that was able to see these mounds in full detail. Cause for real, this like straight up, let's just say, non-melanated towns and mm-hmm. nothing there but the mounds, right? But I got a chance to see them and witness them and tap in, and that really progressed my spiritual journey. And long story short, the beginnings of my astrology career, I would stand on top of these mounds and channel like it's a full moon. And it means, like, I was, you know, very naive and trying to find my voice at that particular time, mm-hmm. but it led me to who I am today. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't nothing that I could have ever fully contrived. It was more of like a spiritual initiation into something that was very deep. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how I became an astrologer, and I just kept learning. I mean, I'm still learning, right? Uh-huh. But uh-huh. I'm just learning about it. There was times where it's like, that's too difficult, and I'll just leave it alone. But now I'm at the stage of my growth where I'm just trying to bust through barriers, complicated things, difficult things to understand, simplifying those things. And that drive to take complex information, simplify it for my people, make it relatable, is something that, you know, really brings joy to my heart on a daily.
Okay. Wow. So I was going to ask you, when, if you can recall, when did your spiritual journey kind of start? When did it start?
My spiritual journey started in 2011, mm-hmm. When my high school sweetheart transitioned in a car accident. Mm. It was one of those things that was like very jarring, and it was like truly spiritual, because how I woke up, like I felt this presence, like this warm presence in my energy space. It was like a second sun in my bedroom. Like, and it was like literally, like I seen all of the energy and I was like, wow, what is going on? And then I get on like Facebook and, you know, they're telling me that she passed away. And I'm like, well, she's right here. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of just like, that was an experience. I was living in Massachusetts at the time. Like I said, I moved around a lot in my life, but I was living in Massachusetts at the time and she was living in Ohio. It happened in Ohio, but her presence and her inner, like I knew, I didn't know that she passed away, but I knew that something significant happened because the energy was just extremely strong and it was her energy and my presence, what I've come to realize now. But that really, because I was living in Massachusetts at that time, and then I had the insatiable drive to just come back to Ohio. Mm-hmm. And not only to Ohio, just to come to Columbus. And I did not like Columbus, but it was like my feet, my boots had cement on the ground. I could not leave because, of course, I had to get that job. I had to see the mounds and do all of that. But before, I'm just like, what in the hell is going on with my life?
Right.
But yeah. It was all spiritual. And that really opened up my, like, because from 2011, 2012, I was back in Ohio, back in, like, and then just continuously, like, just every day has been significantly in relation to the spiritual journey ever since March
3rd, 2011. Wow. Because, you know, and I asked that, too, because most people, when they have, it's like something usually tragic that happens to wake them up. With me, with me, now when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I used to sleepwalk, and I experienced sleep paralysis. So I used to dream like every night, which I still do now. I've always been a dreamer. I used to have premonitions, all that, but I didn't know anything about spirituality, all that, any of that during that. I'm at church every Sunday, you know what I'm saying? But I've always been open-minded and curious. You know, so even in my early 20s, I started meeting people like from the Nawabian Nation, the was it the 3%ers, the Muslims, you know? So even it was like, okay, what's really going on? But when I dealt with an abusive type relationship, so tragic, like and not, you know, just like, oh, my heart has been broken. I was like, I feel like I was gonna die, you know.
It's right,
long story, but
I understand
that shook me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, that shook me, and I initially started seeing the numbers, 555. But no, the first number I saw was my birthday, 820. I kept seeing that on the clock. Right. And that was like in 2017 when I started seeing the numbers. But in 2015 is when everything at all shook up for me. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I started seeing numbers first. I was like, something's going on here. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I asked, because most people that I ask, it's always some tragic to happen or something devastating to them. You know what I mean?
Right, you never hear some. My dad bought me some ice cream, and then I just been woke ever since then.
Right, like no, it's like you gotta, kinda, you know, to the bottom or something. Have like said, someone passed, or somebody didn't slap you. Know, somebody didn't slap you. You know, or you know, it's always something tragic. It's like that makes you, that wakes you up. You know, and I'm like, I have to wake up to myself. You know.
Yes.
And really rediscover who I was. It's like, I feel like I died and was born again, like the real rebirth.
You for sure.
That's how it feels. That's how it
feels. It does kind of feel like when you're like outside of your purpose and you need to be readjusted to your purpose, and you can't be readjusted to your purpose positively. So you then have to get triggered into your purpose, which, you know, when you're up and when you're in a good situation, quote unquote, you generally don't want to change it or do nothing different about it. And it almost has to bring you down to your knees to begin to be like, okay, let me be real with myself. Let me start to do this work. And I mean, it's not easy. Like, I never would say spirituality is easy, and to get here takes a lot. Mm-hmm. But I just wish one day people would just not have to go through tragedy to wake up.
right. You're like, oh my. And then people say like, oh, you know, whatever the triggering was, like, we chose that triggering ourselves. Yeah, we made
it true
where we even, you know, came to the planet for that to happen so that we could wake up.
Right.
Oh, so I'm like, really?
But no, but then again, it's like people like you present authentic positivity, right? Genuine goodness, right? Gratitude and just positive energy, that maybe that will change a person outside of tragedy. So it's like, keep doing what you're doing. Because this is probably the thing, you know what I'm saying? That could wake a person up. Or if they already experienced a tragedy, your positive energy might be the thing that says, okay, I might can lift myself out of this funk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Or they can call me, you know?
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I tell people, like, because I put my number in one of my videos. Maybe I need to put it out there. Like, you can really call me. But, you know, I got to get into that consulting thing because I love myself and mm-hmm. I honor myself and my time.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that's number one.
Yes. That is what you will learn in spirituality. When you become awakened, you do learn, you know, you have to learn how to, you will learn how to love yourself and how to care for yourself too. Go on for a while. Yep. Yeah.
You have to. I mean, mm-hmm. I think, like, this is what I was thinking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad to be in relationships. It's bad to be in a relationship with another person before you have a real relationship with yourself. And so many of us, because life is so hard, we latch on to people before we latch on to ourselves. And generally, we find ourselves worst off before we even got into the relationship. Because it's not going to be outside in, it's going to be inside out. That was just something like a theory that I had.
I like that. And that is true. And that is true. Because a lot of times you get in relationships with people because of your trauma that you share.
Right. Yeah.
Or that trauma bonding. Or for some you know, for some people, for safety, because they came from a bad situation, you know, or for protection because they or for stability because they grew up in an unstable environment. You know, so they have a certain way of thinking and functioning.
100%. And this is, you know, love and beauty and attraction. This is what really happens. This is what should be really talked about. Because what about, you know, if you're living a prosperous life, but your partner is living a life based on survival? That's mm-hmm. generally probably going to happen a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking on the external and, you know, mm-hmm. We vibe together and that type of deal. Well, what about your fight or flight? You know, because mm-hmm. generally in a lifetime, something tense is going to happen. You know? Yeah. So you want to be with somebody that will respond in a mature way. But, you know, a lot of times people don't care about that until it's too late.
Right. Right. Then we experience in relationship after relationship.
Oh, man.
Trying to find something outside of us.
Listen, mm-hmm. I was just thinking about this, BJ. What you doing? What we got? A telepathic connection or something, girl?
Hey,
I was just thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can't be going through 101 relationships. Mm-hmm. That ain't right.
It's not. And I say that. I'm like, well, if you dated 100 people and did none of it work, who is the common denominator of all the people?
Let's think about it.
Right.
Think about it.
All of them?
Yeah. 100 of them just said no. We going to move on and decide to keep it moving. Like, you ain't captured not one person heart? Like,
Right. What does that say? Yeah. We need to look in the mirror and really do some analyzing.
Yeah.
You know, and Think about your life for real. For real.
Very difficult, and it's not a lot of like, say for instance, a person might learn a lot from you, but they gotta really find you, because it's a lot of loud talking, negative energy givers that's clamoring up all the space. So, you know, it's just more or less of keep spreading your voice, keep doing this work. So, you know, the more your light spread, the more it could bring some type of shift in, you know, because people need, for me, I needed a mature person to pour into me. If I didn't have that, I would never be here. I needed to take advice. I needed to be sat down and talked to and say, that ain't the right way to go. You need, but talk to me face to face, eye to eye. And that really saved my life on multiple occasions. But, you know, I think like you do that, but just the spreading of light and the growth is really impeccable for me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
For sure.
Yeah, when I was
but you're doing the work though, so you know, I'm just observing.
Yeah, and I was gonna say my healing really began when I healed my relationship with my father. And the funny thing is that that person that I had that negative experience with is the one that told me you need to call your dad. You know, so it was some good stuff about it too. You know what I'm saying? Because it was with him, because why I got triggered, you know. But yeah, his mom was like, you need to call your dad. And I'm like, okay. So once me and my dad, you know, talked and we healed our relationship, and you know, we're still working on it. I don't think you just totally heal. I think we're always going to be doing some type of work and healing, you know what I'm saying? But once I mended my relationship with him, things changed for me. Like my relationship with men, the men, and you know, that I'm, you know, my children, my male children, men in my life, just my male friends and men that I come in contact with today. Like it changed my whole, you know, perspective.
That's a powerful statement right there. Powerful.
And that's why I tell anybody, you know, if you can, if your father is still alive, or if you haven't come from a situation to where, you know, there was some type of abuse with your father, you know what I'm saying? Just don't, you know, if you can, if you have the opportunity as a female, and as a male too, but I'm going to speak from being a woman, try to, you know, heal, you know, try to make that relationship, because it's a life changer, you know? He brought me that balance that I needed, that I didn't have, you know, growing up, you know? Because I spent a lot of time searching for daddy, you know, where's my dad? Because he was an absent father, you know? But I'm at the point now to where everything that's happened to me on this whole journey, I'm thankful, because I would not be the woman that I am today had I not experienced these things. Had my father not, you know, had he been in my life, would he have been the best father? You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate all that, everything that has happened, everything to get to where I am today, and to get to, you know, I got my podcast, I got Hood Mystic on the podcast with me, you know? I'm really excited. I'm really excited about what's to come. Yep.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And it's really important for, I don't think it has to be a bad situation for women to heal that relationship with their father. I think you could be a great father and you would still benefit from healing that relationship. Because say for instance, like my kids do it all the time. Like my kids would have a whole conniption fit if they want to use my phone. And I'd be like, nah. And they'd just be like, you mad, like I don't love them or something like that. And I do love them. I'm just, you're just not getting my phone. Like you're not getting my phone. Like I'm not giving it to you. You're crying. Talking, you cussing me out. You're just going through all types of emotions because I won't give you my phone.
Right.
It don't mean that they might internalize that, like, daddy don't love me and daddy hate me and all of this.
That's true.
They might have to do some shadow work on that in the future. Like, oh, my dad was looking out for me, so I didn't fry my brain watching YouTube videos.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't even know if they're going to even be that mature. At this point, they're young. Hopefully, you know, fingers crossed. But I'm not going to be the dad that lets my child run the world. Like, he can hate, if they gonna hate me for telling them no, all right, you know what I'm saying? That's the price you gotta pay a lot of times as dads. And I say all of that to say is sometimes a lot of women who got good dads and be like, I don't like him, or, you know, because he ain't the person you imagine him to be, but he might have thought in his mind that he was doing the right thing as a dad, right? And it's always, you know, like they say, three sides to the story, you know?
Right.
And you just gotta really, I think dad shadow work is for man, woman, you know, all of us, good dad, bad dad, absent dad, you know, father of the year. You probably still gonna have to do some shadow work on that relationship. Cause I'll give you another one. People will be like, dad, all you did was work.
I was just thinking about that.
I told you got the telepathic connection, BJ. I told you.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, I was gonna say it, but I was waiting patiently.
For sure.
You did was work. You ain't never come to none of my games or nothing like that.
Listen.
but the bills was paid. And
listen,
you
ate every day. Good.
Right. Right. Right.
And when you ain't complaining about that.
Right. Like, what's the problem?
What's going on? What you got issues about? Let's talk, baby. You know, and that's, but I'm just, it's a powerful notion that you bring forward, you know, that daddy shadow work, like, and forgiving your father so you can move forward in your relationships with men.
Yes, absolutely.
And I mean that from men and women. Like, I don't mean that gender-based. Like, men need to heal their relationship with other men too, quiet as kept. But that's probably a whole nother podcast.
that's a whole nother show. And we'll come back with it. You know, I need to get a little bit more information.
Yeah, about for sure.
That. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that.
For sure.
And then, I just thought about, too, mommy shadow work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, you know, it's always daddy, but moms, we need to do some mom shadow work too.
Yes.
You know, because sometimes mothers feel like they're beyond reproach. Like, you can't tell nothing. I ain't know. It's what I'm the mama. You ain't coming.
You came from me.
Right. Like, you owe me for the rest of your life, you know? And I'm like,
for sure.
Mom shadow work too. That too. I've done a lot of healing and growing.
When people are healing, it ain't no mystery. Right? You don't heal on the low. You heal and you be shining. You pop out and you feel like you can go here and there and anywhere. You doing things you ain't never done before, and life is only getting better because you heal it, right? And you set the example. So when a person try to flim-flam you and skim-scam you, oh, I'm depressed and sad, but I'm doing the healing work. Well, that don't really make sense. It's like, you need to, where's your radiant smile at? Like, as black people, we can afford to be just hitting them with the positive energy all over the place. And I love it. I love to see it.
Yes, me too. Me too, me too. Man, this has been a great conversation so far. I knew it would be.
For sure.
Okay, so let's get a real let me see. If you can, in simplest terms, what would you say astrology is for those in the audience who don't really know about astrology?
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, to break it simple, astrology is some form of, like, human technology. Let me explain. Like, the growth process from a fetus to a baby to a little boy and girl to an adolescent to a human being, you know exactly how that system works? Like, can you explain that system, like, off the top of your head, or is it just a miraculous thing? So our atoms in our body, if you would search it, it'll say the stars in the universe, our bodies is made up of the same thing. So we are taught in school that, hey, your name is Brandy Martin, when in reality you're the universe incarnated in a vessel. You a small aspect of the universe. And so astrology, for better or for worse, even if you attempt to gain some understanding, like, it's a millions and millions of people are interested in astrology beyond me, right? But that tells me that people naturally are infatuated with the stars the same way as you being infatuated with an aspect of yourself. So I'm the type of person that would tell a person, turn that eye inward, and then you will understand astrology. Because along our central nervous system, they have these things called astrocytes. So these are like cells, and they are so important to our development. But it's one of those things where we don't know much about them because science can't explain them. And so since science can't explain stuff, then that just means it's unknowable. My understanding, astrocytes, astrology, is basically the as above, so below of our inner star system. That if we can, another thing about astrology, every 26,000 years, every hour is a different chart. You're never going to get the same. Like, me and you got two completely different charts, I guarantee it. Because I've read over thousands of charts by now, and never have I seen, oh, this is the same exact chart as somebody else. It just don't happen like that. So basically, your astrology chart is your DNA, but it really is like your DNA coding being laid out in front of you. So if you can then begin to connect the dots, I've had major breakthroughs with people and reading their charts consistently to bring them into alignment within their personal purpose, or even just, you know, so some people can think like, well, I feel like I should be doing this, but I never had the validation because all I know is my mama, my daddy, my cousins, my brothers, my sisters, and they don't tell me nothing special about me, so must not be nothing special about me, right? But when you look within yourself and you deal with your star body, like, you are the same size theoretically as the sperm, but you just have expanded your vessel to protect that initial sperm cell, which is your central nervous system. Like, the spine and the brain is that same sperm cell, just grown. And it's so smart and advanced technology that it creates a body around it to protect it. But surrounding that whole central nervous system is what's called astrocyte. So I know that sounds kind of wordy, but it's basically the study of our divine connection to the stars. And we are the stars, because if we were to spread our arms and legs out, we would look just like the star emoji, like an imprint of it. But ancient.
That is so cute.
It's like ancient technology, species, extraterrestrials, but just get told that we just regular folk, so we don't never tap into our superpower.
Wow. That, I love that. I love that. Oh my goodness. I never thought about it like that. Wow. Yeah. That is so true. Oh wow. That is so special. Yeah. I love it.
We are extremely special. A human being waking up, walking around, is enormously special. And I feel like it's my personal responsibility to just remind people of that, because everything could be taken for granted when it really shouldn't be. every moment is extremely precious. But back to what has opened me up to my spiritual journey is death of a person that died at a young age that died before her time. So I'm just like, damn, ain't nothing really promise. So let's treat this day very special. So, you know, my wife and my children, every day is a special occasion. You know, and that's kind of how we live our lives, basically, because it's the truth. Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. even a lie, you know, it's just something that we just need to remind ourselves of.
I love that. I really do. Okay, so about we mentioned the astrology chart.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell the audience like what helped them with that? What that is? Some people don't even know what a chart is.
Yeah, a chart is a snapshot of your birthday, of the planetary energies of that particular day and the alignments of that day. It's your unique snapshot. It's good to have your birth time, but the birthday works good too. Birth time helps it be more precise, but generally it's like if you took like your school picture day or something, you wear your best outfit, it's like the best day, because really when you're born, you're perfect. You ain't manipulative, you ain't trying to steal nothing, you ain't on no trash. You might cry a little bit and want to eat a little bit, but who don't, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So we just are perfect, and that's probably the only time that you spend in that perfection. So that's a very important moment.
Mm-hmm.
So your star chart, how do we tell time, right? We don't tell time through a clock, really, because if you say, for instance, the clock just broke, like, you know, how would we then be able to tell time? Well, you would know when the sun rises that it's a new day, the sunset is the nighttime, and what month or what year it is by the planetary configurations. Your birth date and your birth time is like the celestial clock, like what was happening mm-hmm. at that time. And it's like, you could say, my personal opinion, like from studying, that this is like your ancestors, you made it through a series of tests and trials in the astral world, and you've been chosen to incarnate. And now you have that recollection. So from what I do, I read charts based upon an ancient perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there was no clocks, if there was no calendars, what would that day mean, right? And so it's interesting when you read a chart. At first, it's like a bunch of lines and symbols, and it don't make no sense. But like anything, right, you learn it. It starts to make more sense. And it's always an interesting, like, doing it. If you will look at my website, I got a lot of positive reviews, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that it's extremely interesting how accurate it is mm-hmm. when you're able to know what these things mean as an astrologer. So it's like, say for instance, you're watching a basketball game and you watch somebody play basketball. You're like, dang, they're like an NBA game. You're like, that looks fun. I want to get out there and play. And it's mm-hmm. like, you might not understand it, but you could learn it, you know, you can mm-hmm. get better at it and gain some understanding. And I'm just saying that for new people. If you look at astrology and it seems confusing, that's mainly because you haven't applied to learn and sit down and retain new information, which is difficult for adults. So trusted astrologer, well-reviewed astrologer can help you understand your chart fully, you know, or point you in the right direction. But if that's not enough, you know, begin to look online and read books and take each and every symbol as if you don't know what it means and try to gain knowledge on each and every symbol. And that's really how you learn it. But it's like a bunch of small pieces that you have to kind of put together. And for me, it's been years and years of study and application and doing readings and coming with these different downloads. And another thing that I would say, it's a spiritual divination system. So when you're reading a chart, you're able to, like some tarot readers might look at your chart because it's easier to get into a spiritual space, because that's more the true you. Like you could be a star, right? But your mama and your daddy say you're supposed to be a house cleaner because they house cleaners.
Right.
I look at your chart and you might have 5 planets in the 10th house, and I'm just talking about you should have a career as a singer. You got 10th house in Leo, and you like, so you mean all the times I was singing in the shower and singing in the mirror that day, a singer on Broadway? Like, yeah, you need to go for it, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
That's kind of how it works. And that's just an example that probably don't make sense, but just it can get deep and we can talk about it for hours. So
that's why I know I definitely want to get my chart read. You have not read my chart. I need to set up my appointment so you read
my chart. My readings too, on me. So it's cool now. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of like doing it for fun, for real. Like I ain't doing it for money. So I just like whoever want a reading. It's cool now. I've done it a long time. I'm really just doing it for people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because probably it's going to be a time this year where I know I'm going to be too busy to ever talk to anybody. So it's just like, get them while they hot.
Hey, like pancakes, like hotcakes.
For sure.
Definitely. Like I said, you've done readings, you know, for me. Y'all, yeah. He got on his Patreon. Y'all got to get on his Patreon. So, wait, okay. So, that
I do a lot. So
he does. He treats his Patreon members so amazingly. He sends us videos and classes that he's teaching. It's awesome. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. It's almost been an hour.
Oh, yeah. We've been I told you we got the connection, BJ.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be a guest again. I'm just waiting for the invite already. Already know. I ain't even going to ask you.
Oh, wow. So amazing. So amazing. I'm just loving this whole conversation and the energy. It's awesome. Thank you so much. Yes.
It's wonderful.
Okay, so I'll just let it all out. Work your handles, your websites, all that. So everybody, you.
For sure. I try to spread myself thin, but it works out for me. Mainly if you want to catch up with me, we created our own little social media. So we got the Patreon, and that's for people that's like wanting to support my content. But whenever I do a class, I'm giving that to my Patreon. Anything that I'm becoming more engaging with my Patreon subscribers, so that's available. But I got a free social media platform called The Mystery School, and you can join that for free at learnsiderio.com. If you live in the area and you like, ain't nobody woke around me at this point, I guarantee you it's probably somebody that live in your city. Is everybody, everyday people join it is mainly melanated people that's interested in spirituality. But, you know, they sharing what books they reading, they sharing their shadow work journeys, whatever people going through. You can schedule events. On the 5th, we got a book club. It's a couple book clubs, you know. It's just, you know, progressive spiritual people. And that's kind of something that I'm very spiritual about. I mean, very serious about. I mean, what else do we got? Hoodmystic.com. That's my blog. Try to at least blog once a week. Me and my wife, we blog together, and it's a good way for business to kind of share information, and people who are interested in the information tend to support our products, which can be found on Colombian Exchange. That's my wife's baby. She does a lot of herbs, but we also sell my books there. I got about like four books on things from chakras to astrology, shadow work, all of this stuff that we talked about in this podcast could be found on ColombianExchange.com. Like I said, I do a lot. So on Instagram, The Hood Mystic, I'm posting every day on that because I love sharing interesting things with people. I'm a sharer, dare I say, an overshare. So if you're not into that type of thing, you probably won't enjoy my content. But if you like consistent spiritual content, be sure to follow me on The Hood Mystic on Instagram.
He's gonna keep it real, y'all.
Yeah,
and some stuff you might be like, what? You know what I'm saying? But yeah. Yes. Awesome. So before we go, is there a message that you would like to give to everyone? A quote, a thought, just something?
Yeah, something that's been on my heart really lately is charging your energy. You may not see your energy. You may not feel your energy. It may not be visible. But trust me when I say you have an enormous amount of energy that looks to you, even if you say like cells, you have a trillion cells in your body. And all of your cells look to your consciousness for direction. The trillion cells in your body, what are you programming them with? Are you programming them with positivity, positive people, prosperity, love? Or are you programming your cells with self-defeatist energy, sadness? Are you telling your cells that you're depressed? See, your energy, your life force, wants to do whatever you tell it to do. But sometimes we so caught up in telling other people what to do that we never direct ourselves. So what's been on my heart for this whole entire day, probably the past couple of days, maybe week, is getting in tune with your energy that you don't see, but it spreads far and wide around you. And this is the first thing that people pick up. What have you been telling yourself? I'm beautiful. I'm successful. I'm gonna make somebody really happy today. Like, what are you telling yourself? Because that's what people are seeing. And I know for a fact people ain't loving on themselves. So really seek to love your energy, love yourselves, love the things that you don't see about yourself, because we all see it, even if you don't see it. So you know how they say, stay ready so you never have to get ready.
That was awesome. I love it. Oh, wow. Well, again, thank you for being a guest on my podcast. And yes, you will be back.
I wasn't going to ask you that, BJ, because I'm just waiting for the second to whatever you're going to ask me to come back.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot you a text. I'm going to call you.
Call me, text me. You know how we get down. Yes. I see that BJ Martin coming down. I just think about that smile. I just be like, shit, I'm about to answer this phone, you know? I'm about to answer. Because I know as soon as I pick up, I just imagine you smiling. I'm going to just start smiling.
Yep. Exactly how it goes.
Energy is contagious, you know?
It is. Very, very. Wow, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end this show for the evening. I would like to thank you all for tuning in to my podcast. I am full of gratitude. And before we go, I would just like to say, remember, just like the sun, you are necessary. All right, peace.